The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us both from our Old Testament lesson of Job and also our Gospel lesson, the account of Jesus walking upon the Sea of Galilee. We read a few verses from Job 38. It says there, "Or who shut the sea with doors, or when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come and no further, and here shall your proud ways be stayed." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ours is indeed a proud age. We truly believe that we can do as a society almost anything. We believe strongly in humanity's power to create, to maintain, to cure. We believe that we can fix any trouble if we simply put our modern superior mind to the task. No doubt the people at Babel surely thought they had the market cornered on turning ambition into outright self-glorifying pride. But I suppose even they would be amazed at our age. Those at Babel thought they had the world figured out because they had built a tower high into the sky. They were impressed at themselves because they had collected enough knowledge to be able to build something that looked like it reached into the heavens. But in our age, we sent a man to the moon, and soon we will send one to Mars. They thought they had done very well to assemble the knowledge to build that most impressive building of their day. But I suppose they would have been baffled by the kind of engineering that goes into building each of the skyscrapers that dot the skyline in all the big cities of America. They thought they would make a name for themselves. But we in our day shamelessly put our names on every structure and building that we complete. Yes, we are quite proud of ourselves. And why shouldn't we be? For surely the Lord told about this age will certainly place past civilizations by comparison into some class of substandard attempts at society. While those ancient civilizations measured their greatness by architectural achievement, our greatness seems to know no bounds. PBS recently aired a special called 18 Ways to Make a Baby, counting just 17 of the many ways that scientists and doctors can now use to create human life. Yes, 17 ways other than what my sim prof always called that good old-fashioned way. Yes, our society believes that we can create life. And once life is created, then saving life becomes the next step. And to be said, we also seem to believe that we can save any life, so long as the right tools are there and the right people are around. Lifesavers is no longer just a candy, but it is a cultural conviction about the ability of people in our society. And even when life finally gives way, we think we've got that handled as well. Oh yes, eternity is even in the grasp of humanity. It used to be that people would at least admit that the life beyond this one went beyond the bounds of what science and humanity could figure out by themselves. But even that has now changed. For religion after religion teaches that a blessed afterlife can be achieved by anyone who will simply reach inside of themselves and pull out the goodness that lies there. Oh yes, our greatness knows no bounds. Many believe that all the problems of the world can be solved if the right people are given influence and power. Emotional problems can be solved if we will climb the tower of modern psychology or pop the latest pharmaceutical concoction. World peace can be achieved if we find the right measure of diplomacy and force. difference of religion, culture, race, can all be solved if we would all just take a good course in tolerance. Yes, our society seems to believe that nothing is out of our reach. Ours, indeed, is often an arrogant age. I can just imagine the words that God might use to set our age back in its place, like he had to do with Job so many years ago. How would God today remind our society and us as well that he is God and that we are not? Job had come to believe that he could figure out all things on his own, simply through his knowledge and sound reason. But that's when God reminded him that he was the one who had created all things. He reminded him that he was the one that set bounds upon the unruly sea. He reminded Job that he was the one who directed both morning and evening each and every day. Yes, he reminded Job of who God truly was. Perhaps God would remind our age that with a sustained shake, all of the most impressive structures built by men would fall to their demise. I suppose he might remind our age that while we've come a long way in understanding the biology of how life begins in the womb, that we have no idea how God infuses that body that is formed with a unique soul and personality. He might remind us that while we often think we can save many lives, we are often confronted by that incurable cancer that disappears, or on the other hand, by that insignificant, simple procedure that ends in tragedy. Yes, God would remind us as well that he is God and that we are not. And he would certainly remind us that the scope of the afterlife is squarely in his hands. Yes, God's rebuke of our age and our thoughts no doubt would be easy for him to craft. He could remind those people who think that they can finally solve all of the world's problems that many in their arrogance have tried before in the past and failed. And he would remind all of us that complete peace and restoration is something that only he can bring about and only through his Son. Lest today we leave here thinking that we just live among an arrogant people, we must also realize that many times the arrogance of our society ends up filling our minds as well, even in those ways that we deal with our God on a daily basis. We often live our lives as if God is naive, or if his ways are at least a little dated. When we hear Jesus talking about selling everything and following him, we quickly dismiss that idea and begin to buy more land, put more money in our bank account, and buy more toys. And then we have the gall to wonder why our hearts are not set on heavenly things. We hear Jesus instruct us that sexuality and marriage are meant to be kept together. And yet we are quick to decide that such a suggestion is just not feasible in our modern day. We forget that the creator of sexuality might know something about its proper place. Jesus assures us in every possible way that he has control of everything, that he loves us, and that he cares for us. And yet we often still think that we must worry if things are going to turn out all right. Yes, we arrogantly think that perhaps God needs our worrying thoughts in order to accomplish his plan. Well, today as we watch the Lord Jesus walk upon the sea, we learn again exactly who Jesus is. You see, in the Bible, there is perhaps no more ominous item in all of creation than the sea. In the Bible, the seas were thought of as a violent and uncontrollable force, a fearful thing near to evil itself. And in our gospel lesson, we see Jesus walk literally right on top of that sea. That uncontrollable force is literally under his feet. And once he steps into the boat with the disciples, his presence commands that the sea would be still. Yes, indeed, the one who had many, many years ago told the sea, "This far you go and no further," once again on that day at the Sea of Galilee, exercised his authority over the sea, walking upon it and casting it into stillness. We often think when we read this account of this miracle that the miracle is that Jesus didn't sink into the water. But realize that for the disciples and for us, it is much more than that. For in this miracle, we see Jesus controlling the uncontrollable. We see him fearing not the fearful. We see him indeed commanding the sea that took orders from no one. Yes, the sea was, and if we are honest, is still one of the most feared things on the earth. Ask those who hear the tsunami warning after an earthquake has struck out in the ocean. Ask those who watch the hurricane spiraling towards them on the radar on the evening news. Ask those who work deep out on the high sea and who hear the mayday call of another ship. Yes, the sea indeed is fearful, but our Lord Jesus walked on top of it as if it were grass. He commanded it to be still, and it responded quickly. Yes, this miracle goes far beyond the Lord Jesus defying the laws of gravity or density. Instead, his walk on this dreadful sea proved who he was. There was only one in all of the universe who could indeed control the sea. Only one who could tell Job that at creation he made the sea stop right where he wanted it to. Yes, only God could do such things. And Jesus was God. He was God in the flesh, and therefore he had control over all things, even the sea itself. Yes, he had conquered the sea. And soon he would conquer yet another great object of fear. After all, who could leave the grave after death had placed them there 3 days earlier? Once again, there was only one. Only the author of life could do such a thing. Only God. And yes, Jesus was God in the flesh. And the good news is Jesus is still God. He indeed is still that one who can do all things, who knows all things, who controls all things. So be still and know that Jesus is God. Allow your pride to be still from thinking that you might instruct God rather than be taught by him. Let it be still when it thinks it has got everything figured out all on its own. Let it be still when it thinks that its ideas are better ideas than those of the Almighty. And then, having confessed those sins of pride, be still in your soul. Let your conscience no longer accuse you. Tell Satan to stop reminding you of your sins, for they are gone. God has forgiven them. God in the flesh died for them. Yes, the one who told the seas where to stop during his act of creation has told your sins where their place is. The one who walked upon the Sea of Galilee has taken your sins and cast them to the very bottom of the deepest sea. They are gone, and they will never be seen again. Yes, God's rebuke this day of our age and of us as sometimes prideful people has indeed been sent out to accomplish one goal, to bring us back to the life that he gives in his Son Jesus. Yes, today God has sought to rebuke our pride And if we have heard that word, it should bring us low. But that is actually good news. For those that are low and humble, God exalts. Yes, God exalts the humble through His Son, the one who walks on the dreadful sea. Amen.